From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in. Joining me is Lauren Barros. She is a senior member of the Citizens Climate Lobby Wasatch Back chapter. And you're here to talk about, what CCL is doing, what's going on with respect to your efforts and objectives under the new Biden administration. So thank you, Lauren, for taking the time to chat with me this morning on This Green Earth.
Thanks, Chris. It's nice to talk with you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm excited because under this new administration, we hope at least that we will see a different attitude and perspective towards issues like climate change. I'll start there. Do you agree with that?
Well, certainly. I think it's like night and day for sure. But I do think, though, that a lot of the progress that's made is really made at the state and local level. And I was thinking about that when you introduced me, about how at CCL we advocate for federal legislation to address climate change. Mm. But really most of our time is spent working at the state and local level to have conversations with people and local elected officials about solutions for the climate. And I think that's something that's been going on even more, maybe even more during the last 4 years because of the administration, but I hope we'll continue.
All right, well then let's dig into that. Who are you talking to in the state, and what is the heart of the conversations?
We often meet, so we have a monthly meeting up here in the Wasatch Back, and then up until the winter months, we would also have a monthly hike. And in our monthly hike, we often try to bring maybe people from the Summit County Council or mayors from the Wasatch Back, maybe some local professors, community groups, high school groups, and just have time to talk about our concerns about the environment, things we love about the environment, get to know each other and establish relationships, and really build a network of people, that we can draw on so that we can say, you know, what could we do? What could we do at a local level to move this along? And at the time, it was because we can't really wait on the federal government to do anything. And so often during those hikes, we'd come up with some great ideas that end up being turned into action. For example, one this fall, we were with Mayor Celeste Johnson and Mayor Kelly Potter. Celeste Johnson's from Midway and Kelly Potter's from Heber. And with BYU environmental ecology professor Ben Abbott. And we started talking about what would be the most effective thing we could do at a state or local level right now. And we were asking each other, you know, what do you think? And even asking high school students too from the Parks of the Earth Club. And we started talking about building efficiency and how that might be one of the most important things we can do. After that hike, I had another conversation where we met with the mayor of Midway and then with some people from Utah Clean Energy and started to learn more about building standards and the International Building Code and where how Utah is playing a role in adopting a current version of the International Building Code and how we could play a role in advocating for better efficiency standards. And from there, Mayor Johnson and Mayor Potter started talking, and now they have some ideas for how they can develop maybe a booklet for all new home builders, all, you know, people like you and me who would build a home, not the builders themselves, but the people who might be able to build a home, a booklet for them so they could see here are the options when you build a home to make your home more efficient, both saving you money and helping to reduce carbon emissions and save the environment. And that maybe that booklet would have to be given out to all of those folks who are building the houses and have them sign it, say, yeah, I've been shown this. And that way the developers would have to, and the city too, would have to look into it and say, like, okay, here are the different options, and here's really what the short-term and long-term costs and savings will be. So those, that's just one example of
right.
some of the things we do. But of course, we also meet with our federal legislators regularly and talk to them about carbon fee and dividend. But
right.
we also talk with them about other important federal legislation, too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about carbon fee and dividend, because this is something you've been championing for a number of years. This can this be a statewide program, or is it something that you're pursuing that is more on a federal level?
For a time, we were helping to support some state legislation, but really our big hope is on a federal level. I think it will be most effective and make the most sense on a federal level. We would like to have people on the state level endorse it, support it, and the first step is understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be federal legislation that would create a carbon fee. So there'd be a fee at the mine or at the well, at the source of the carbon. And that fee would gradually rise over time. And then the money from that fee would go into a trust fund, like the Social Security Trust Fund, and be paid back to each American in checks, like stimulus checks or like the Alaska Fund check, probably on a quarterly basis. Per person.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have a check delivered to your household that would be, and the amount of that check would depend on how many people were in your household, including your children, with no limit on the children. That's the current version of the bill that we're supporting. The reason that we support that is because, A, it's good for the economy. It allows people to make the choice of whether they want to change their behavior or not. If they choose to pursue, if they choose to use more renewable sources of energy, it'll probably cost less. If they choose to consume more, you know, maybe heat their driveway, it's going to cost more. But they can make that choice. It also will drive innovation and technology, because the people who can produce products and services that that are less carbon intensive will also be able to produce cheaper products, less expensive products for us to buy. In addition, it won't increase the deficit. In other words, it's not like a lot of other federal legislation, which would consist of maybe grants or money for, and I think we need these things too, perhaps, but it wouldn't be where the federal government just spends money. Instead, it would be the businesses that are producing the pollution, in other words, the producers of energy, of coal or gas or whatever it is, those producers of energy, they would have to pay an extra fee. And then that fee would probably be incorporated into the product, into the gas you put in your tank. And then the money from the fee would then be distributed back to households, so they would have the money to help pay for some higher costs and defray those costs. But it would be fair, meaning that people who earn less will receive, let's say I receive a check for $200, it's going to mean more to me than to someone who earns $1 million a year, for example. So those are sort of the basic tenets of a carbon fee and dividend. And then one other important tenet is that there should be a border tax adjustment, meaning that to keep our products competitive with products from other countries, that when our product is sent to another country, that tax is rebated, so that we don't have to, our manufacturers, let's say Chacos, you know, the sandals, if we want to send those over to, to China,
right?
I'm just going to pick China. Then the Chacos doesn't have, Chacos gets rebated that carbon fee that they had to pay, so that it can be competitive with China if China doesn't have a border tax. Now, a lot of countries do have their own carbon fees, and I shouldn't have said if it doesn't have a border tax. I should have said if it doesn't have a carbon fee.
Right.
So, for example, the European Union has a carbon fee. And beginning in 2023, the word is that they're going to have a border tax adjustment that's going to require that when we purchase products from the European Union, we're going to have to pay a carbon fee as well. Unless we also have a carbon fee, then we won't have to pay it.
All right, let me...
Does that make sense?
Let me reintroduce you, then I'll tell you if it makes sense. How about that? Well, I'm speaking with Lauren Barros. She is a member of the Citizens Climate Lobby Wasatch Back chapter, which I assume then there's a number of chapters around Utah and around the country. And we're talking right now, among other things, something that the CCL is promoting and advocating called the carbon fee and dividend policy. So let me circle back then and just break it down. Carbon fee then is in effect, as described, a fee at the oil or natural gas wellhead or otherwise a fee placed upon the producers of carbon, oil, coal, natural gas.
That's right.
Okay, so let's say then the fee might be tacked on to the price of a barrel of oil. So if the price of a barrel of oil right now is $50 a barrel, the fee might be an additional 10%, so it would be $55 per barrel of oil. That fee they pay, then that fee goes into a trust fund, we'll call it, and then we, the U.S. citizens, each person in U.S. gets a dividend associated with that fee on a monthly basis or so in the form of a check.
Exactly.
Or a debit card, like my stimulus check arrived in.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
Right.
One of the silver linings of this pandemic is that we're already experiencing what that fee would show up as in the form of a check or in the form of an electronic deposit or in the form of a debit card. So this is the way it would also transpire with respect to this carbon fee and dividend policy, right?
Exactly.
Do I get
that's
that?
That's right.
Okay. Now, what's to say to keep from... the advantages or the bonus here is that if whether I burn 100 gallons of gas per month or 10 gallons of gas per month, I'm still going to see the same fee. I'm going to see the same dividend.
Exactly. So you'll see the same... Right. If you drive an electric car, you're not going to have to pay that fee. But if you drive a gas-powered car and you try to limit your mileage and you use alternative transportation, then maybe you spend $150 a month in gas or $100 in gas, but you're still going to get the same dividend check every month. That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So there's the incentive. To burn less fossil fuels and still receive the same dividend associated with the fee that, in effect, is perhaps someone else is paying for in a way. So that's the motivation there. We only have a few more minutes. So what is its standing so far? The momentum to establish this policy growing now under the Biden administration?
I think that we're hoping that this will pass in Congress and that there is momentum behind a carbon fee and dividend legislation. There's also some momentum behind other kinds of just stimulus, building back better sorts of legislation where we provide money for green energy jobs. We provide money for research and development for all the things we're going to need, we're going to probably need carbon capture. We're probably going to need hydrogen for shipping and steel plants and cement plants. I mean, I think that there are a lot of options, and right now people are so excited because for the first time they might have the chance to pass this either in a bipartisan way or through budget reconciliation. Through budget reconciliation, you could probably pass the carbon fee and dividend. But But of course, at Citizens Climate Lobby, we would hope to pass bipartisan legislation because we think it would be, I think it would be the most lasting and the most durable. Yeah, but I do think there is momentum. I think it's put on hyperspeed right now.
Right.
It's not just the new administration, but it's also the new Congress.
Right. Well, let's be honest.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
I'm just going to say, let's
be honest.
What
were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that we've got 2 years of a democratically controlled House, Senate, and White House. And if it's not going to pass under that framework,
right.
It's going to have a difficult time passing any time other than that. So,
you bet. I mean, I think even just in the last month, a lot of entities have come out in support of carbon fee that maybe would not have in the past. So, for example, the American Petroleum Institute at the end of January put out a statement saying they support a carbon fee, which is pretty surprising.
Yeah.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce in the last month put out a statement saying they support a carbon fee. So I think it might be a little bit like, I don't know, I keep hearing Facebook ads saying we want regulations.
Right.
And I think it might be like the business and the petroleum industry saying, look, we don't want to be driven out of business. Let's make this work together. Let's give us a seat at the table here.
All right, we got to wrap up.
Final words. Thank you so much for...
Yeah.
Tell us
how people can get in touch or learn more about Citizens Climate Lobby and maybe joining in on those hikes.
Well, that would be great. We have a meeting by Zoom right now, the third Thursday of every month, which is this coming Thursday at 6:30 p.m. And we have a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and a Twitter page. If you search for Citizens Climate Lobby Wasatch Back, you'll find us. And we would love to have you in our monthly meeting. It's only an hour. And then beginning next month, we'll resume our hikes. And then we have a town hall at the end of this month. It's Monday, March 29th at 6 p.m. It's a Zoom town hall, and we'll have Mayor Celeste Johnson from Midway, Mayor Kellyn Potter from Heber, Representative Kara Berkeland, who represents many of us in the Wasatch Back, Representative Mike Kohler, who also is from Midway, and Professor Ben Abbott, the environmental ecology professor I talked to you about a little bit before from BYU, as well as students from Park City Earth Club and local college students who are from the Wasatch Back moderating. So please tune in for that. The theme is local and state solutions to climate change and clean air problems.
I believe we're going to be talking more about that. Promoting it with Tom Moyer, another CCL Wasatch Back, in a couple of weeks. Yep. So, Lauren Barros, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning on This Green Earth.
Thank you, Chris. It's been fun. I look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Take care. We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.